All right, let's get started this morning. Our main passage is going to be 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11. Yeah, David Cutter, if you'll get that for us. 2 Chronicles 14, 11. Then if I can get Mark 6, 37. Trevor, if you'll get that right. Mark 6, 37. And then 2 Chronicles 14, 12. Brian, if you'll get that for us. This morning. Okay, so one of the most helpful sentences I tell pastors in ministry, but really for disciples wrestling through things in the home church, just people struggling through things, is this statement: you know what? God is going to help you. And that is a statement that goes beyond nice words. It's more than just a nice sentence. I believe it. And in that, there are times where faith is transmitted. And people will lay a hold of that and be able to see a breakthrough. And so I want to look this morning at, do you realize how much God wants to help you in life, breaking through bondage, breaking through overwhelming circumstances? Ultimately, this is one of those, how much God wants to help you in ministry, whether that be in ministry today in various ways or in your pastoral ministry in the future. God is going to help you. So let's look at 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11.
And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, "Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you."
Okay, let's look this morning at a study titled Ministry Help. Let's look first at the ministry reality. Pastor Greg has often said, I've been on the other side of this table as a disciple, and I remember him saying, any work for God, you're going to face resistance. Things are going to come against you. That means if you're going to do something for God, you will face difficulties. You're going to face opposition. You will face in your ministry hard situations. Okay, it's one of those things, you get people get in ministry and it's like, yeah, but it's hard, so I'm going to pull back. I tell you, if you're going to pull back because it's hard, you're not going to get very far in life, because life is full of difficulties. Life is full of hardships. You're going to face fight. Sometimes, like our story, this is with people. Asa, in our story, is facing an enemy. It's a fight. There's authorities coming against him. You're going to have to fight sometimes people in life. That can be city officials, legal officials that want to hinder or stop. You're going to have to wrestle through that. But sometimes there's going to be a wrestling through conflicts, a wrestling through offenses that sometimes are hell inspired, and this is a reality, and that bothers people. It's like they want to be the pastor that never has to have a difficult conversation. That's a lot of ministry. It's not fun, but it's part of it, and you have to be able to do that. You might at times face overwhelming circumstances. Our scripture that David read, it's a prayer. A prayer in an overwhelming circumstance. This is a very difficult season, a very hard enemy. Oh, Lord, help. That's his prayer. I need help beyond myself, and this is a reality for you and I. You are going to face difficulties. But secondly, Think about our story. What is the context? The context is war. Right? Here is conflict. That means they're going to have to engage with an enemy that wants to kill them. So what does that mean for them? A second practical would be work. Ministry takes a lot of work. Guys, I remember Pastor Greg saying this as a disciple. It takes work. Okay? If you're looking for an easy route to fruitfulness, if you're looking for an easy route to effectiveness, if you're looking for an easy route, you know that, I remember Pastor saying, we labor for the one right now. We're not in a season of full-on revival where you could probably show the Lion King and people would get saved. We're not in that dispensation. So we labor for the one, and that means it takes work. And a lot of stinking work. I remember Pastor Greg saying, I work my stinking butt off. You know what? Yes, if you're going to be effective, if you're going to see some things, are you willing to put in the work? Are you willing to put in the time? Right? As king, think about this. Asa, in our story, he's running a nation. He's got to oversee a people. He's got to oversee and those tasks that are all involved there. He's running an army. And every detail of battle and looking at that, he's making decisions that are going to impact people's lives. That is a lot of work in that the enemy wants to strategize against him. Lives are threatened. Their future is at risk. This is ministry, difficulties, and work. Both of these realities are applicable today. Whether you're pastoring, it takes a lot of work. Okay, I've seen lazy men in ministry, areas I've pastored, and it shows in their ministry. It shows in areas of their ministry. Right? This is difficulty and work in 180 ministry. If it's going to be effective, it's going to take work. Bands, it's going to take work. If you're going to be excellent and minister with excellence, it's going to take work. To put together dramas, it's going to take work. Yes, discipleship is going to be difficult and take work. And maintenance and disciplines, right? So all of this is in place. Church ministry is going to have its difficulties and work. If you're going to be a Bible study leader, you're going to have to learn how to navigate people and prioritize time for an effective lesson. It takes work. Your home and your family, there's going to be difficulties and stresses and frustrations you navigate, and it's going to take work. A good marriage, I remember Pastor Greg saying, takes work. A good home takes work. So these same realities are in place as in our story. If you're going to be effective, you have to be willing to put it all in. And so what we're talking about this morning isn't always, understand, there's a balance here, isn't always a dominion issue. Sometimes in the lack, we want to say, we just need some dominion. God just needs to help us. Or you need to get off your lazy butt. It's not always the devil. Sometimes it's the lazy devil looking at you in the mirror. It's not always a sin issue. No, we're not seeing things because there must be sin in the camp. Right? And then you get the sin police, you know. You're checking everything, and sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's a practical thing of, are we practically approaching some things? What we're addressing this morning isn't always a character issue, although all three of these can be. Sometimes it is just the work and the working through of ministry. It's the ministry reality. Did I hand this out? Mark 6:37. I think. Okay, go ahead.
But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?"
Think about this story here. Jesus has been ministering to a mass of humanity. They're there, they're attentive, and you know, great sermon. It's just a long one. And disciples start getting word. People are getting hungry. People are, you know, they're thinking about their next meal. So they come to Jesus, say, "Jesus, people are hungry. I think it's time we probably wrap this up." What do you say? There's a problem. There's a difficulty. It's time to dismiss. But Jesus answered them, "You do it." You know, it's one of those things like you kind of read through the story, and we know what comes next, right? What comes next? Let's just throw it out. What comes next? Okay, he feeds the 5,000, right? So we know, it's like you give them something to eat. We read that and it's like, yeah, but Jesus is going to take care of it. It wasn't just about Jesus going to take care of it. In a difficulty of ministry, what is Jesus actually telling them here? What is he teaching them? Work it out. You see, sometimes in life, in ministry, you're going to have to figure out how to work it out. You're going to have to figure out how to work it through. You're going to have to assess, how am I working on this? I remember calling Pastor Greg, very frustrated. We cannot retain our fruit. We can pray with people. They'll come to church. They'll lock in, but at 6 months, almost on the dot, new crop of new converts. 12 to 15 at a time we're working with. And every 6 months, it's just a turnover. And it was one of those things, it's like, it's going to happen. Whether that be old relationships, whether that be they go back to the same drug they were using, whether that be, another church, some way, they're going to go. And I remember calling him saying, "We're doing everything we can. We're witnessing. I'm fasting. We're contending. I don't know what else to do." And he said, "Yeah, you're going to have to talk to God about it." In other words, work it out. Work it through. And Jesus is pointing out in this scripture in Mark 6 that sometimes ministry, sometimes it's going to require a little more out of you. We try the bare minimums. Yeah, I'm a disciple. I want to do the will of God. But ministry, outreach. Outreach is not really my priority. I mean, give the mic any day. How is that going to work when you're in the field? We don't have the concert director and the handful of faithful. Now then I'm going to be. Probably not. Right? What's going to happen when you get out there and you're the impact team? You and your wife, and if you have some kids. What happens when you're setting up and tearing down for an outreach? Why not learn it today? Why not learn how to work it out today? To work it through today, because this is the ministry reality. It will have oppositions, and it does take work. But let's think secondly about ministry focus. It matters what you focus on in these seasons of ministry. Some focus on self. Some focus on their own talents. They focus on their own abilities, what they can do. But sometimes that isn't enough. Right? Think about the children of Israel going into the promised land. Here they've seen God do judge the gods of Egypt, do the miraculous, a dividing line of blessing and cursing, right? And then even seeing the miraculous Passover of the angel of death and leaving with a high hand, the Bible says, they left with the wealth of Egypt. Then they look at the enemy. They've seen so much of God, but then what do they focus on when they send the spies? They focus on themselves. They focus on who they are, what they can do, where they are at in their abilities, and they say, we can't, we are like grasshoppers. In other words, they focused on themselves. And that, in this season, you know, again, you're working through things, and I'm giving you a balance here. It's a tug. It's not one or the other. It does take work. It does take working it through and working it out, but it's not all on you. And when you see ministry as all on you, it's very overwhelming. It's very discouraging. It's very weighty. Others focus, they'll put the focus on other people in a negative way. They look at people and, yeah, we could have had a successful time, but this person or this group of people, they're messing things up. Or you get someone, a pastor in a season of, right, a time, they're seeing barrenness. Let's say experience is barrenness. Yeah, well, you know, this church just isn't serious. Yeah, well, this city, you know, they just don't want to live for God. Yeah, well, you know, this people, they just want to be carnal. Yeah, this city is, in other words, you're blaming. We could really have revival if we could just get rid of people. Right? That's how some people, you begin to view it that way, because your focus is others. But then there's some, they focus on God. And that's what we see in our story. Verse 11, and Asa cried to the Lord his God. His focus in ministry, in the ministry reality, was aimed at God. Wasn't aimed at himself. Wasn't aimed at other people. It wasn't aimed at the enemy. Put his attention on God. He fixed his eyes on God's power, on God's ability. Right? And this is important because Asa recognizes his limitations. He's recognizing, I can't accomplish this on my own. It's not going to be by our effort, which he's doing what he needs to be doing, but that's not where his confidence comes from. Simultaneously, in recognizing his limitations, he's seeing the power of God. Verse 11, help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name we have come against this multitude, in your name. Right? At the name of Jesus, demons will flee. When you keep the main thing, you're going to be able to keep unity and keep the focus and keep the drive. When the focus is Jesus. Right? So this is actually the way to process the ministry realities. Is to learn to lean on the power of God. Learn to put your confidence in the gospel. Let the Holy Ghost inspire you. Ask God for a quickening, a strategy, a revelation, whatever that is needed in the moment. And as Asa does this, continue the story, they see a breakthrough. So when you do this, it's going to help your perspective, number one, right? That God is in control, that God is powerful, that God is able, that God is the source. Secondly, it's going to help your view of trouble. Verse 11, Asa says, "Let not man prevail against you." It's in these times of the ministry realities, you feel like it's you against the world. You know, but no, we've got God. And no one's going to stop a work of God. I'm reading the book Jesus Revolution, and they were commenting, if I remember right, I believe it was Lenin that said, Christianity is going to die out. This is in the late 60s. Christianity is going to die out. And just a few years later, revival breaks out. Because man's not going to stop a work of God. Man's not going to stop. No city official is going to stop. Because we have God on our side, and we are people of favor. So let's close. Let's think about ministry help. So God responds to Asa with help. 2 Chronicles 14:12.
So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled.
Okay, so the Lord defeated. Think about that. It wasn't Asa and his wit. It wasn't Asa and his might. It's not what it highlights. Why? Because Asa already highlighted where his help's coming from. He cried out to the Lord, and here the Lord defeated. So this reminds us that God will get to work with you. It's very important, guys, you recognize that. God is not going to do the work for you, but he will get to work with you. He will get to work and supernaturally accelerate your abilities or whatever it is you're applying yourself to. He can accelerate that. All right, that's the beauty of altar call preaching in 180. You learn how to prepare, and as you prepare and you begin to preach and the Holy Ghost gets involved, right? You know those anointing moments, right? Anyone who's ever preached an altar call or even a witness, you get that anointing moment, and it's like God is there in that moment. Man, how exciting is that? When God shows up in your witness, in your altar call, in your service. That is God getting to work with you. You've labored over study. You've labored over organization. You've labored over working out the application. And then God goes, and I'm going to get to work with you. You put in the effort for a 180 night. You've practiced. You've laid a hold of God. You've protected the giftings and the anointing by living right. And you get to that altar call song and heaven comes down. Man, that's an exciting time. That's God getting to work with you in what you are doing. I learned from Pastor Greg, he would often say, God, if you have called me to this, then you've got to help me with this. I tell you, God's commissioned us. And so he's going to help us. But what I'm talking about in this then, in the balance, you're going to have realities. You're going to need to wrestle through some things. You're going to need to put in the work. But our confidence and our help comes from God, comes from the gospel. And so in that, what is this at the end of the day? We're talking about a faith posture. and a faith attitude. It's an expectation based on the Word of God. And Pastor Greg has summed it up in one word, one nice bite-sized word for you and I to remember: unacceptable. Guys, is that, when I first heard my pastor say that, it's like my brain, something unlocked in my brain, in my mindset, in my heart. So, like when it went from my ear inside, I was like, yeah, unacceptable. You know what? It's unacceptable that we pray with people on a Saturday night and they're not in church Sunday morning. That's unacceptable. That they have this encounter with God, sometimes weeping at the altar. You know, it's unacceptable that our fruit isn't locking in and getting to the point where they're getting in ministry. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable that there is a lack of dominion in the arena of fruitfulness. It's unacceptable. Whatever that is, you got to identify it. And that's a posture. That's a faith attitude. Some guys is like, they can parrot it. It's unacceptable. But exactly the other tension I'm talking about, the work, the contending, the seeking God, the desperation, it's not there. It's both pulling in tension. And it's that faith attitude. It's that faith posture. It's got to get in you. Got to get in you. I'm going to tell you guys, if it's not, you can get it. That's the beauty of what I'm talking about this morning. It's transferable. Asa, in that moment, as he's crying out to God, something transferred into the rest of the arenas of his life. Something transferred into his nation. Something transferred into his army. Something transferred even into the enemy. And the Lord defeated. When we lay hold of this, when this becomes our ministry reality, God, I know this is going to take work. I recognize there are going to be things that I don't have a clue what to do, but I know you're going to help me. And I'm going to put in the investment. I'm going to do the practicalities. I'm going to apply myself. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to discipline my life, and I'm inviting you to help me because I need you. I tell you, God will get to work in you in that. Amen. I just want to bow our heads this morning, just for a moment. Really feel the Spirit of God. Ministry help. This morning, I just want us to pray for that faith attitude, that posture that became so real in our pastor, that he has worked it through and made it so practical and applicable and tangible for us. This morning, I want to pray that that is transmitted into, because this group of men switched on in the way that I'm talking about, will turn a city. And I know this morning that there are people, their lives are hanging in the balance. Their lives, God has positioned them for salvation and redemption. But I believe that there is an element of our part to say, it's unacceptable they're not here. And God, I'm not settling for less than what you have. And there has been a moment, I'm recognizing, of assault on our congregation in the arena of health. There's been an assault, an active, reoccurring sickness in homes and in families. Today, that ends. That ends. That's unacceptable. The enemy's in the area, but I know the enemy needs to go because we need to see the breakthrough. And this morning, it's unacceptable. Some of you, you've been working with people that they have prayed and they were touched. It was Holy Ghost. And it's like the moment never happened. That's unacceptable. That finishes today. That our fruit will remain. Our fruit will abide and endure. Our fruit, it's going to make it. Get involved, discipled, in ministry, launched out. Hallelujah. Let's pray right now. Father God, I'm asking, Lord, for an outpouring of your grace this morning. Lord, I rebuke every work and weapon of laziness. Father God, I rebuke complacency. Lord, I rebuke the spirit of rebellion right now. Father God, I pray for an outpouring of your spirit. Lord, I rebuke sickness right now. Families that have been dealing with reoccurring sickness, that is broken right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Those that have come under financial scarcity, Father God, their finances are being consumed. I rebuke the devourer right now. In Jesus' mighty name, Father God, I rebuke the curse of barrenness. Lord, I pray liberality. Let this posture of faith, this faith attitude be transmitted into this group of men, this group of disciples. Father God, I pray an outflow of your spirit. Oh God, quicken us and inspire us. Do a miracle in our hearts. Let our ears be attentive to you. Our hearts open to you, Father God. Fill us with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' mighty name. Fill us with the vision. Fill us with the spirit of evangelism. Put within us a witness of boldness. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. Let's give God praise this morning. Worship him in tongues. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, do a miracle this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. What a wonderful presence of God. I encourage you, you lay hold of this right here. This right here. This must be maintained. You feel that quickening. You feel that stirring. This must be maintained. You must tend this fire. Very vital in moving forward. It will become a reference point in future ministry. Amen. Let's open up for some questions this morning. Something you want to ask along these lines of ministry help. Yes, David.
When you have a day when you're feeling, it could be like assault or just like physical exhaustion or maybe discouragement or whatever, what do you do practically in that time to break out of that?
Yeah, so, you know, in that is sometimes, David, is sometimes you got to understand, sometimes it is just life, right? You know, there was a day the other day, like, I just felt like I just couldn't wake up. It's like, man, I'm just drained today, you know? Could be I was fighting something, sickness, etc. Didn't get super good rest. But the discipline of life, I still got stuff to do, right? So sometimes that is just the case. But other times I recognize, no, this is from hell, right? This is an assault. And I will just pray throughout the day. I'm working my tasks, getting business done, etc. But it's just one of those things where it's like, I will spontaneously just kind of pray at my desk. Oh God, I rebuke works of witchcraft. I bind the words of rebellion or soulish prayers, depending on whatever I get inspired about. You know, in that moment, it's just kind of deposited and I'll pray. The third way, though, is sometimes you got to just feed your spirit, get in the Word of God. I need encouragement, I need refreshing, like you're saying, is getting into the Word of God. I'm going to focus. I'm going to read more today. And again, it's about feeding. That's what it's about. Nothing else. I'm not looking for sermons. I'm not looking for, some type of heavy revelation. It's just, God, feed my spirit, you know. And then, of course, you know, there are some things that I enjoy outside of that is, you know, being able to spend some time with my wife, go to lunch, you know. Sometimes we'll go on a quick coffee date. It's just her and I, and we go, we'll get coffee and come back home. But it's just those minutes of, you know, leisure and enjoyment that is kind of just opens up the brain, right? So there's a lot of different factors, basically. So I have numbers of things. I love music. I love playing music. Sometimes in between tasks, I'll play a few riffs on the guitar and get my brain thinking on something else. So you gotta identify, what is it? Is it just one of those days? Is it just changing your mind for a moment, giving it a break? Is it, no, this is spiritual, so I need to read, I need to pray, I need to seek God, right? And sometimes too, I'll watch, videos of, I really love Daniel Kalinda. I love his crusades in Africa. And sometimes I just watch them and watch miracles and watch the testimonies. And it's like, man, Jesus is still alive, you know? And so it's just ways to encourage yourself. I'll listen to a sermon. I'll listen to maybe somewhere Pastor Greg has preached, or I'll listen to, I love Pastor Stevens, love his ministry. And sometimes it's just getting fed elsewhere in a different way, right? It's just numbers of ways, David, numbers of ways. So, yep, working that through. Good. Any other questions on this topic, ministry help? Very good. Well, looking forward to today. We've been having a wonderful series with Pastor Greg and the revival we need today. Looking forward to today's sermon. Let's be believing God for fruit, visitors, and our converts. God, give them revelation. Thanks, guys.